Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 33, verses 1 through 12. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea as in a bottle. He put the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. The Lord commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. The Lord frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thought of the Lord's heart to all generations. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom the Lord has chosen as his heritage. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
The reading this morning comes to us for the sermon from Matthew's Gospel. I'll be reading from the 9th chapter, verses 9 through 13, and then skipping down to 18 through 26. Listen now for God's word to and for us. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed Jesus. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before Jesus, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly, the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said to them, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, Jesus went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you and you alone are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of you most likely have heard of Amy Grant. She was a Christian, and then she became a popular Christian singer, mostly in the early 90s. And one of the songs that I remember her singing was a song called Hats. In it, she talked about the multiple hats that she wore. She was a wife and a mother and a songwriter and a performer. She talked about how stressful it was trying to balance all of it. Amy sings from all of those places. And you know, we have our many hats too, don't we? We have the hats of our vocation or our past vocation if we're retired. We have the hats of our education. We have all kinds of hats. We wear hats of the church. Some are elders, some are deacons. We serve in many and various ways. Some are choir members. Some play the bells. We wear hats in our families of being children or parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles or cousins. So many hats. And then we wear hats in our own community. Hats to those of us who belong to the Organist Guild, and some belong to the League of Women Voters. And you know, there are all kinds of hats. If we belong to a neighborhood with a homeowners association, I know some of you are involved in that. Some volunteer as at Skycrest Elementary, and some the community orchestra, some the Sierra Club. And you know, some of our retired members have told us that now that they are retired, they believe that they didn't use the word hats, but they wear more hats than ever because they're busier than they ever have been before. One strategy that I have found in coping with the many hats that I wear is list making. Are there any list makers out there? I have tons of lists. And the only way I can make sense of all of them at the beginning of the week is to look at them. They're on my calendar, they're on my phone, they're on little bits of pieces of paper. And then I try to prioritize them because I have, you know, things that I have to do for my family and things that I have to do for church. And so I have this ABC system. A's are the most important, B's and C's. Okay, well, that's all right. We have these coping mechanisms because they're important. We want to spend, as Mary Oliver puts it, this one beautiful, wild, and precious life in a way that reflects what is truly important to us, what we truly value. Well, all this stuff works pretty well until there is an interruption. Does anybody know about interruptions to their plans? We're trying to work our to-do list. We have our plan. We're working our plan. But then somewhere, seemingly out of nowhere, someone or something interrupts us and throws a monkey wrench into our list and our plans. And our to-do list seems to go up in smoke. If anyone at all could understand the multiple demands on our time and how stressful that is, it would have been Jesus. You know, most of us have a lifetime to accomplish the goals that we set forth, to live into our values as we learn and grow, what is most important to us. But Jesus had a ministry of 3 short years. And once word had gotten out about his astonishing ability to heal, Jesus was always being interrupted. And we read about 2 of those times when Jesus was interrupted in today's scripture reading. The first one came from the synagogue leader. In Mark's gospel, the man who does this interruption, we can also find the story there, is Jairus. In Matthew's gospel, he remains unnamed. Can you just picture that scene and all the people that were in the room? It was a crowd. It was a crowd of tax collectors and other people who were considered to be sinners. And Jesus was among them, Pharisees. And also Jesus' disciples were there as well. He's teaching them a very important teaching of the relationship between righteousness and mercy, which also can be translated as loving kindness, in response to a challenge from one of the Pharisees. When all of a sudden, a synagogue leader, a man of the establishment, if it was somebody in today's world, he might have a very impressive suit on and a Rolex watch. He comes up and he humbles himself and he throws him at Jesus. He throws himself at Jesus' feet. What in the world was he thinking? What would make him be so desperate? Well, we soon learn that it's his daughter who has died, and he's heard about Jesus, and he wants Jesus to come and bring her back to life. Death is the greatest interrupter of all, isn't it? It had interrupted that daughter's life. Now this father interrupts Jesus, so Jesus, in turn, can interrupt death. When Jesus and his disciples began to follow this man to his home, they were interrupted a second time. This time it's by a woman. It's by a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. In Mark's account, we're told that she had sought to be cured. She had endured much pain under many physicians, and she had spent all the money that she had. As we know, Jesus, the great healer, showed mercy to this woman and healed her of her hemorrhage. As I reflected on this text and the busyness of our lives, I started to wonder to myself, maybe life is more about the interruptions that happen to us than what's on our to-do list. After all, it's been said that life happens when we are busy making plans. If so, if life is more about, if that's true, the interruptions that happen to us, then perhaps we should start to listen. Maybe life is more important than our to-do lists. Perhaps we should then learn how to handle them. Jesus has a few things about teaching us about how to handle interruptions in our lives. First of all, Jesus welcomed interruptions, and Jesus wasn't selective about to whom Jesus showed mercy. He showed mercy and compassion and loving kindness to everyone who interrupted him. Many of her day would have had nothing to do with this woman. After all, as I said before, women in that time and place were little more than property. And plus, she was deemed to be unclean because she had this issue with this flow of blood. And just by having her touch his robe, she could have made Jesus unclean as well. But that didn't seem to bother Jesus. Jesus welcomed also the interruption of the synagogue leader. He was a member of the establishment, the people who were he was part of the system that questioned and challenged Jesus' authority. Yet that didn't matter to Jesus either. He responded to that man with mercy or loving kindness as well. And he followed him into his home and he healed that man's daughter. As disciples, we are to mimic our leader, Jesus. We too are to be channels for God's grace in the world, wherever God sends us. The first thing we can learn about Jesus is dealing with interruptions is to welcome them, and more importantly, to welcome the people that they represent, knowing that God is in the midst of things and may have just put that person in front of us, and be compassionate and loving and show mercy and loving kindness to them as well. Why was Jesus able to be so welcoming? Well, the obvious answer, of course, is, well, he's Jesus, right? But he was also fully human. And so Jesus, I think, got tired just like we got tired and only had 24 hours a day with which to work, just as we only have 24 hours a day. But I think more than anything, what enabled Jesus to welcome interruptions is that Jesus trusted the reality of God's to-do list rather than the reality and the validity of his own to-do list. When he got to the leader of the synagogue's house, A full wake was in process. There were flute players and professional mourners there, which was their custom. And Jesus says to them, "Go away, for the girl is merely sleeping." Well, of course, they laughed at him. They knew that she was dead, and they knew how to face reality. When people die, they are gone. We often think that we know how to face reality too, and one of the coping mechanisms that at least I use in my own life is my organization with lists and calendars and the best laid plans. But when we respond to the interruptions in our lives Jesus style, then we can view them as possibilities for God's grace to flow through us, working one miracle at a time toward the advancement of the kingdom of God on earth. Now, what item, I ask you, on our to-do list could be any more important than that? I'm not suggesting that all of the interruptions in our lives are sent by God, because we get off track all the time. And sometimes our interruptions are just a waste of time, but I do believe we need to be on the lookout for when those interruptions may be God sent. So how can we tell the difference between an interruption that is just an interruption or an interruption where we have the opportunity to share the grace that God has shared with us? Well, I think we can just look at what's on our to-do list, and we can look on what's on God's to-do list, and we can ask ourselves, will the love of God be better expressed in the world if I pay attention to this interruption or if I stick to my own plans? It is true. We all have to-do lists that perhaps have more than we can ever accomplish. And we all wear multiple hats in life. And when we are interrupted, it can be frustrating. But I believe it can also be freeing and exciting, because when we can discern divine interruptions in our lives, we are freed to serve where God needs us most. You see, the most important hat that we wear is an invisible hat. It's the hat that we receive when through the waters of baptism, when we are marked as God's own beloved child forever and set apart or made holy for discipleship. It's the hat that reminds us that we are God's and not our own. It reminds us that God is in control, and God will direct our ministries to where they are needed most if we allow it. May it be so. Thanks be to God. You go into your week, I ask you to pay attention to the interruptions, because they just may be holy interruptions, opportunities for you to share God's grace in the world. Remember that God does not desire sacrifice, but God desires from us mercy, to show mercy and loving kindness to one another, even in those interruptions. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia. And all of God's people said, Amen.